KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a mostly cloudy sky with 15 degrees. We look for it to be mostly cloudy today with a chance for light snow or flurries and a high of 22. In addition, a winter weather advisory is in effect for a couple of counties in the far northern part of our listening area. They include Sac and Crawford. And that winter weather advisory will go into effect at noon today and run through noon on Friday. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. An accident on Interstate 80 in Council Bluffs Wednesday afternoon resulted in three people being sent to the hospital. According to Omaha television station KETV, a vehicle drifted off the interstate near the Lake Manawa exit before striking a guardrail head-on. The unidentified female driver and her two passengers were seriously injured and transported to Mercy Hospital. Authorities say all of the vehicle's occupants were wearing their seatbelts. News time is 8:02.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
Well, the Adair County Board of Supervisors will meet for the last time in 2012 tomorrow morning in Greenfield. And during that 9 a.m. session Friday at the courthouse, the board will discuss and possibly act on taxable mileage, township clerk wages, and an amended public health emergency preparedness contract. In addition, at 9:15 Friday morning, the board will discuss, we'll hear from Adair County Engineer Nick Kaufman, who will present a report on his department's maintenance and activities. The Cass County Board of Supervisors will hold their last meeting of the month Monday morning here in Atlantic, and during that 9 a.m. session at the courthouse, the board will act on a livestock facility construction resolution and on ratifying a bargaining unit agreement with the Secondary Roads Department Union. In state news, federal authorities say the number of cattle and calves in large Iowa feedlots is unchanged from last year. The U.S. Department of Agriculture says the number of cattle and calves in Iowa feedlots with capacities of 1,000 or more head totaled about 1.2 million on December 1st. That means inventory is unchanged from the same period last year. Cattle and calves for slaughter in the U.S. for feedlots with capacity of 1,000 or more head totaled 11.3 million on December 1st, and that's 6% below inventory from the same period last year. Another USDA report shows the number of cattle in Nebraska feedlots with capacities of 1,000 or more head contained 2.53 million on December the 1st. Officials say white powder found inside of a package at the Des Moines Veterans Hospital turned out to be smashed prescription pills. The Des Moines Fire Department dispatched a hazardous materials team to the Veterans Affairs Medical Center Wednesday afternoon. Officials treated the white powder as suspicious until tests showed it posed no danger. Fire Department spokesman Steve Brown said that someone had mailed pills to the medical center to have the prescription refilled. The chair of the body that already regulates the state-licensed casinos says they are ready to add internet poker regulation to their duties. Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission Chair Jeff Lamberti of Ankeny says they're ready because he thinks they have to be.
That's really where the next step in gaming is moving. We've seen some states approve it and are moving in that direction. Actually, our administrator is very knowledgeable and did a paper regarding internet poker specifically.
The Iowa legislature has not yet approved internet poker, but Lamberti says they can handle the job of overseeing its operation.
If the legislature tells us that they're going to authorize that and we need to move forward, we want to do like we do with our current facilities, is have a high level of integrity, regulate it so that people who engage in that can trust the product. So if that's what the legislature decides, we will regulate it and hopefully regulate it well.
And Lamberti was asked if that regulation would require more employees.
Well, it kind of depends on what happens in that industry. We might, but I don't think we know what the model is exactly going to look like. Is it going to be a centralized model? Is it going to be in several of the casinos? Until we know the model, I don't think we know the answer to that.
He says he's confident that if online poker goes ahead, they will get enough resources from the state to regulate it properly. Iowa Gaming Association Executive Director Wes Ericke says his organization has an idea of how the system would work.
We'd like to have offered through the portals, like a website, portals of the casinos on a platform regulated by the Racing and Gaming Commission, so that you're assured that when you play that we can keep the miners out. We have ways of doing that now. There's also advanced technology with kind of geofencing where you know that you're playing outside of the state's borders, potentially having reciprocity with other states that Jeff alluded to, like Nevada, now just New Jersey just passed, and other states might too, so there would be that reciprocity to play.
Eric, he says there are some 150,000 Iowans who now play online poker on sites hosted by other countries.
And if you're playing on one of those, if you had a straight flush and won $5,000 and didn't get paid, who do you go complain to if it's sites in Antigua? That wouldn't happen if it's regulated by the Race and Game Commission offered through our casino platform.
Lamberti and Eric, he made their comments during the taping of the Iowa public television program Iowa Press, which will air on December 28th. Republicans and Democrats in state capitals across the country are talking ambitiously about what they'll do next year with the unchecked power they amassed in the fall elections. In more states than not, one party now has full control of government. But you won't hear much brash talk in Des Moines. Party leaders there are warning supporters about what they shouldn't look forward to next year and speaking mildly about compromises. Iowa inhabits an unusual parallel universe in this politically polarized time. It's one of only three states where control of the legislature is split between the parties. Governor Terry Branstad and legislative leaders are trying to figure out a few things they can't agree on so that when the session is over, they won't wind up with nothing. The debate over credit card swipe fees is surfacing again at the Iowa State House. The issue is pitting banks and credit card companies against retailers, both big and small. Jim Henter, with the Iowa Retail Federation, says businesses shouldn't have to pay a fee on the tax portion of the bill when a customer buys something with a credit card.
We understand the need to cover and help cover the cost of these types of transactions. However, we believe the big banks have gotten greedy. That's why we're talking about this issue.
The fee is 2.5% of the total purchase, including the tax, and Henter told a legislative interim committee that it amounts to a tax on a tax. Retailers want limits on the fee they pay every time a customer makes a purchase with plastic, but Justin Hupfer with the Iowa Credit Union League says it would be a mess if every state passes its own laws on swipe fees.
In our opinion, this is the wrong venue for the conversation because of the interstate nature of plastic card payments. This issue has been lobbied and debated in Congress for about 8 to 10 years prior to the Dodd-Frank Act when Congress did take action.
But the federal laws affect only the very biggest of companies, so none of Iowa's credit unions are covered by the law. The Salvation Army says the bell-ringing portion of its Red Kettle campaign has ended with Des Moines area donations down 8% from last year. The charity's contributions at 60 kettles in the Des Moines area totaled $399,030. The group attributed the decline to last week's snowstorm when donations dropped by more than $31,000 during 3 days last week to compare to the same period in 2011. Although bell ringing ended Christmas Eve, the Salvation Army's direct mail campaign will continue well into January. The group's total fund drive has now reached $832,234 for 69% of its $1.2 million goal. And taking a look at world headlines at this hour, President Barack Obama will be back in Washington this morning after a brief holiday vacation in Hawaii. The president and lawmakers are running out of time to work out an agreement to stave off the across-the-board tax increases and budget cuts that are set to take effect next week. The government also is set to reach its borrowing limit on Monday, but Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner says he'll be talking extraordinary measures as authorized by law to postpone a government default. Northern Pennsylvania, upstate New York, and parts of New England could get the heaviest snowfall before a powerful winter storm ends tomorrow morning and heads into Canada. 12 deaths are now being blamed on the storm, which also dumped a record snowfall in Arkansas. Today, some inbound flights were delayed in Philadelphia and at New York's LaGuardia Airport. A new report says the number of law enforcement officers who died in the line of duty went down by about 20% in the U.S. this year. That's after rising the two previous years. The National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund says 127 federal, state, and local officers have died while on the job this year. The majority of them were either shot or in traffic accidents. A man accused in a series of shootings in four Michigan counties could now face new charges, including terrorism. Raleigh Castile is scheduled to appear in court today for arraignment. Authorities say the shootings targeted motorists along the I-96 corridor in the southeastern part of Michigan. News time is 8:10.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
And in the funeral announcements, Joanne Catherine Schweri, age 73, of Panama, died Saturday in Harlan. A massive Christian burial service for Joanne Schweri will be today at 10 o'clock at St. Mary of the Assumption Church in Panama. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Robert Cruz, age 90, of Manning, died December 20th at the Manning Plaza Nursing Home. Funeral services for Robert Cruz will be held today at 10:30 at Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Tammy Amos, age 54, of Griswold, died December 20th at the Cass County Memorial Hospital. Funeral services for Tammy Amos will be today at 11 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Jean Cambridge, age 74, of Atlantic, died December 20th at CCMH. Services for Jean Cambridge will be this morning at 11 o'clock at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Carl Irving, age 82, of Earlham, died Tuesday at the Madison County Hospital in Winterset. A visitation for Carl Irving will be held today from 4 until 7 p.m. at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Earlham. Bill Huff, age 85, of Greenfield, died Monday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Celebration of life services for Bill Huff will be on Friday at 10:30 at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Mary Ann Munchrath, age 87, of Erling, died Tuesday at the Elmcrest Assisted Living Facility. A massive Christian burial service for Mary Ann Munchrath will be held on Friday at 11 a.m. at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Judith Altfelish Kim, age 71, formerly of Atlantic, died December 19th in Arizona. Funeral services for Judith Altfelish Kim will be tomorrow at 11 a.m. at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. Linda Lou Sanders Fudge, age 61, of Atlantic, died December 16th. Memorial services for Linda Fudge will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Rowena Ratzliff, age 79, of Atlantic, died Sunday at CCMH. Funeral services for Rowena Ratzliff will be held tomorrow at 1:30 at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Helen Gray, age 72, of Atlantic, died Sunday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Helen Gray will be tomorrow at 2:30 in the chapel at Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic. Robert Rozelle, age 90, of rural Lewis, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Robert Rozelle will be held Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Westlawn Hillcrest Mortuary in Omaha. Helen Pig, age 90, a longtime Atlantic resident, died Monday at the Heritage House. Funeral services for Helen Pig will be held Saturday at 10:30 at the United Church of Christ in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Mary Arrowsmith, age 91, of Bayard, died Wednesday at the Guthrie County Hospital. Funeral services for Mary Arrowsmith are pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Bayard. And Gene Casey, age 64, of Griswold, died Monday at his home. Memorial services for Gene Casey are pending at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Our news and funeral announcements were brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Henson reporting.